Good afternoon, everybody else. We seem to be only here. Department, Parliament, media. There's a mic there. We had to postpone our session in the morning, precisely because we do not have the minister who apologized yesterday, which apology we accepted, but also we did not have the director general. We expressed our serious displeasure to an extent we did not have to go on with our meeting. We then had to call on her to come before us. As we are waiting for her, we get more of a bonus. The minister herself is coming. But of course, also the DG were informed that she's also on her way. But I thought, instead of waiting for the DG to come, if the minister is here with us, why not? I must mention again that we are here to do a job, and we are doing that job. And the point is made here, Minister, that at no stage that Parliament must not be taken serious. When we have to do our work, we have no option but to do our work. Can we avoid any dialogue whilst I'm on the floor? That we have to deal with the issues that we are dealing with gives us very little time. Welcome, DG. That we have to deal with the kind of issues that we're dealing with, it gives us very little time. The little time we are referring to refers here to the constraints that we have. To an extent, we shall be forced to work until late in the day. Whether we do that today or we do that tomorrow, because we couldn't postpone this for another day, but insisted that we continue to do our work today, so that we have a lot of work. We have a bill that we have to deal with next week. We couldn't reschedule or postpone our work for a later day in the week to come. Moreover, that in dealing with the entities, our first point of call shall always be to deal with the department itself, and everything else flows from there. So, thanks for having made it here, DG, and most importantly, thanks for having made it here, Minister. We appreciate the response, because it assists us to do our work. We can only do our work properly if we are to work together. The ANC got a slogan that says, together we can do more. This could equally be seen in practice to be along the same lines. So that's the general background I would have thought one should bring to this session as by way of an introduction. Again, a meeting that was meant to have started at 9. It is starting now. We thought we would deal with Necha farms and dispense off with that item. It looks small, it sounds small, but the reality is that it derives budget from National Department's budget. And if anything goes wrong there, it affects the entire department's budget. That's the reality, unfortunately. That's why we spend some little bit of time so that we deal with this matter once and for all. It does not come back to be a hindrance in the work that we do. We are expected to receive a report from NECHA according to PMFA as a Schedule 3B of Public Management Finance Management Act entity. And again, this is an entity that is unfortunately here, but we unfortunately equally have to deal with it. Because you have a number of other farms that are in the hands or in the ownership of the state, but they don't port. And what is so special about this one? It has to do with inheritance. But it is here before us. We have to deal with it. Equally important for us, it is for us to be able to deal with the annual report. And at the end, we're supposed to be dealing with the Marine Living Resource Fund annual report. I must mention that we have also, in the event of any unforeseen circumstances, we have order dinner. We shall have to see how far we go. Of course, also, we shall have to see what type of discussion or other decision we do take as a committee going forward. In other words, we have those three areas that we are supposed to deal with. We're only starting now. Can we hear any views from members? Are we fine? Okay, members, we then shall have to deal with the Necha farm and dispense off with it without taking much of the time. Minister?
Thank you, Chairperson, and good afternoon.
So sorry, just one point I omitted. We equally took note of the fact that the Deputy Minister does not attend our meetings. When a message goes to the department, we take an assumption that that message reaches both the Minister and the Deputy Minister. We shall have to be informed otherwise, that we do not see the Deputy Minister in our midst. It has been a long time. We did take a serious note on that as well. Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good afternoon to the members of the department, the DG, Chairperson, members of Parliament, and members of the media. Thank you very much. I have made it very clear yesterday that I report as a member of the executive to the Executive Council of this government. The leader of government business is the leader of Parliament, has been informed that as a member of the executive, this committee has made my work extremely difficult. Because when I am expected to be in cabinet, you have expected me to be here simultaneously. How you expected me to divide myself in two different pieces has been more than a miracle. For the last 5 years, I have been the only minister of cabinet who has been expected to be in a portfolio committee 3 times a week. There is no other minister, according to the leader of government business, who is expected to sacrifice the work of cabinet because of a matter of a portfolio committee which could be dealt with on different days of the week. Everybody knows that Wednesdays are cabinet days, there are cabinet committees, there are days in which ministers are expected to be in cabinet. After 5 years, it is completely unbelievable that the members of this committee still do not know that a minister is not a member of a portfolio committee. A member of a portfolio committee is a member of parliament who is not a member elected by the president or appointed by the president into parliament. Now this committee, Honourable Member Steyn in particular, whenever I could not be there, on a Wednesday in particular, would chase senior members of my officials out of this committee. I have asked to speak to the leader of the DA, to explain to the leader of the DA what disappointment this committee has been in the light of 22 pieces of unconstitutional legislation which we have been unable to take through the committee, because particularly because of the actions of a member, Honourable Member Steyn and Van Dalen, one piece of legislation took more than a year to discuss in this committee. The second piece of legislation, which was on the feeds and fertilizer bill, took more than a year to be discussed and is yet to be completed. The third piece of legislation is hopefully going to be passed before the end of this term of office. Now what is the core business of this committee? The core business of this committee is to provide a legal framework within which this government and this department is supposed to operate. The core business of this committee is not to provide micromanagement facilities to the department. And with a few months left of this committee, you will still never get it right. Your only obsession has been to call for the dismissal of the minister, which has been a monumental failure, because I am still here. Your incompetence is based on the fact that you have rendered my department inefficient and ineffective by expecting you have rendered them ineffective and ineffective and inefficient by expecting them to be here 2 to 3 days of a week every week. There's no department in this parliament which expected a DG to be here 3 days a week. Ministers have concurred that it is wasteful expenditure, a monumental waste of time, and a total embarrassment for a committee to spend all 99% of its time on 0.05% of the budget. NERA constitutes not even a single 0.5% of the budget. 0.05 5% of the budget is constituted by one institution called NERGA. Now, the number of the hours you have spent on one institution, which constitutes 0.05% of the budget, has been a huge embarrassment. Two billion rand of the budget, which constitutes 33% of this budget, has only reported to this committee twice in 5 years. You do not even know who the officials are who are responsible for the comprehensive agricultural support package. The NCOP knows more about CASP than you know. You have no idea what is happening in CASP. Have you ever asked? Because you always ask about NERGA. You are so obsessed with NERGA. Yeah, you are obsessed with me. It was such a wonderful compliment. I'm happy that you admit today that you're obsessed with me. It is such, you are such a wonderful
Minister.
Compliment to me.
Minister.
Now,
and Minister and the member state, can we avoid any dialogue? Minister, can you allow me to conduct the meeting, if you don't mind? Thank you. Minister, will you also assist the meeting so that we are able to do our work? If you don't mind referring to the meeting, then pointing at individuals who unfortunately also react.
Chairperson, you are expecting us to leave our work, to come and report on 0.05% of the work that I'm expected to do. I've left cabinet for that. I've made a point of this to the president, the deputy president as the leader of the house. I will make sure then that the chief whip of the minority party and the leading party receives a report on this. I find it is a serious indictment on this committee and on me as a minister. As a director general who is hardly 2 weeks in office, is expected to leave her work as a director general, discussing the midterm review of the budget, looking at the budget review as it pertains to our country and food security in the country, as well as budgetary spending of our country. Whilst the Director General is in still a process of orientation, we are expected to withdraw the Director General from an orientation process to report and respond to questions which I have sent more than 10 senior officials to respond to. The pity is the Director General doesn't have a clue of what she has been called to come and do. She has been here for less than 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Within 2 weeks, to expect a Director General to respond to a budget report, an annual report of 2012-2013. So it just doesn't make any rational sense to me for this. Chairperson, since you have waited for the Director General to present the annual report for the 2012-2013 year. I will ask the Director General to read, because that's all she could do, is read the report to you. And the people who have been sent here to respond to the questions that they are given the opportunity to respond. You have asked that no other report be dealt with until the department's annual report is dealt with, and I'll request that the Director General start with the annual report. I thank you.
We're following a program, Minister, that says let's dispense off with Mecha and then shoot straight to the annual report. We are following that program. Thank you.
I'll find out who is going to do the presentation on Mecha. Anya?
Thank you.
Who may do so?
Thank you, Minister, Chairperson, and Honourable Members. I will not take your time. I would want to refer you to point number 4, just up to the progress on Mecha in the report that you have been given. The Chairperson, there are a number of things that has been done since the last reporting. Following the forensic audit, the disciplinary process has been started, and the officers were given an opportunity to respond. There will be hearings, dates have been set already for all the officers between the 25th and 27th of November. Secondly, we, in terms of the transformation, several departments have met together at Mecha, led by DAF, Public Works, the Eastern Cape Department of Agriculture and Rural Development, or Rural Development and Agrarian Reform. And in the several things have been agreed to be done. Firstly, the deregistration of Mecha by DAF as a matter of urgency following the due legal processes. Thirdly, that the Department of Rural Development and Agrarian Reform, the Eastern Cape, would be which is the more likely, more eager, more appropriate to receive the assets when we do the transformation. They will propose a model of how this asset will be used. You will remember that in Mecha there are two components. The one component is the center, which is the public entity that you referred to, and there are other farms that have been that are being used by the farmers. Now, if the Eastern Cape Department produces a model that would find most appropriate for Mecha, they would work with the ARC to take over Mecha going forward. The Department of Public Works, we have requested them just to verify the title deed of the farm and the vesting status of the properties. Rural Development, which is the last meeting, we are asking them to then deal with the leasing of the farms and the settling of the farmers on the property. And in the next page, we have given an indication of the various activities that should be done between now and March the latest. This could be finished much earlier if certain legal processes go faster. But we will do the disciplinary process and finalize them possibly by the end of the year. We will, as indicated, Public Works establish the status of the various pieces of the farms, particularly the setter itself. And once we have the principal approval, we will proceed on that. But we will also deregister the public entity and, of course, resolve how the farmers would settle on the various portions where farmers were previously at leases. And the asset register, which has previously been given to a committee, and I've been informed as at the meeting that it has been updated, so we have an updated asset register. It will be verified again just before the transfer. And we would also work on the HR plan because about about 36 people employed there. We would work out a plan. There are those that will be retired, and so the rest will probably be transferred after due consultation processes. And we then would do a handing over of NEHA, and that's how we propose to get NEHA going forward. At the moment, if transferred to the Eastern Cape, they would work with ARC. They reckon would want to use it possibly as a premium farm for livestock. But that's the model that we are asking them to provide, and we can debate with the other various parties. Thank you.
I suppose that gives us 0.05% of our budget. Thank you.
On that 0.0% note, the report has been presented to members. It's a very straightforward report as far as I'm concerned. If we were to recollect, last time we met with the stakeholders and also the managers of the center, we have promised to go back to the stakeholders with a clear direction as to what happens next with the farm. Having sorted out all issues related to the ownership of the land, having called upon the asset register which we did receive, and also if there is to be any work or thing happening in the farm, what happens to those that are there settled in the farm. You also have there your dwellers that are there illegally. All those being addressed, this work plan talks pretty much to that. We shall still have to work on the legalities of how best at the end do you finally say, which is what this document is talking about. The last point I want to talk about, again, from a legal point of view, it also must be about what then happens, because you have a NEHA farm, a Section 3B entity, whose budget was, what's the word to use? If you are frozen, say for the staff that is there, that must at no stage suffer. But in terms of its activities, that there be, because you do not have a plan, as it were, you do not have an annual performance plan. Now we have a stage, we have arrived at a stage where in the department, or rather, NEHA has to present to us. We have seen the report, it is there. It complies with the PMFA that before, around this time, NEHA farm comes to Parliament. Now we need to look at some of the realities surrounding that, which this is part of. Because that still comes to us at the end, having to say, this is how best we're going to deal with the annual report itself. Can we hear members commenting? Mrs. Yes, Dean.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to find out from the Minister if she's even been to NEHA. And if she will go there and tell the people in the community in NEHA that she doesn't care about their needs. And I can't help it that we actually care for the people there. Secondly, Jay, I want to know the staff that's employed at the centre that sits here needs to be transferred to the Eastern Cape Department of Agriculture and Rural Development. What have they been doing for the last 5 years? While taxpayers paid for them. And what will they do when they now move to the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development? What will be their core functions? Or will they just get a salary and still do nothing? Chairperson, I also want to know from the department, how much money was put in Mnecha since the inception by a government? And what do we have to show for that money that we have put in there? That's all for now.
Any further questions? In the absence of any, I want us to be direct in dealing with these issues so that we do not get derailed in the process. This is a simple and straightforward report that tells us exactly what is it that is to happen. This is what we wanted. We do have it now. And the question that follows is, what next? Now, I want us to be more direct, because you have a situation here wherein those communities, those stakeholders out there, they do call me from that time. What is the next move? We all get involved by everybody. What next? Now, to an extent, we couldn't respond to those because we were waiting for this update. We do have it now. What next? Now, the rest of the other questions, Mr. Stein, I would really want us to refrain on them, because we want to address an issue here that tells us this is where we're heading and this is the direction we're taking. They are relevant in the sense that we would be dealing with, if you like, at the annual report, right? But as of now, we want a sense, because the critical question for me here is that here is a way forward. And how do you align it with in your report and the legal implications? That's where I want us to deal with this report. At the end, having to say to ourselves, this is the best way out. There are processes within National Treasury that we have got to go through, but from where we are seated as Parliament, how do we take the process forward? Because there's an issue here that requires us to respond to directly, that of an annual report. And how do we deal with that in relation to this report? That's what it wants us to do. The rest of the other questions that relate to how much money was invested and whether we've been is relevant insofar as the annual report is concerned, because what I want us to deal with, which is what our people out there are waiting for, how do we take this process forward at two levels here that we're dealing with this report? On one hand, we're dealing with this report in so far as an expectation of our people out there. Secondly, this report in so far as the annual report is concerned. That's what we want us to do, and we have to confine ourselves so that we don't spend much time on this issue that we are dealing with. So that's what I want us to do, members. Mr. Abram?
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to thank the acting, now I don't know what the situation is now, but in any case, Mr. Manya, for the report. Now, Chairperson, with regard to the annual report, is for the period 1 April 2012 to 31 March 2013. So whatever the activities were or whatever reports are as at that date falls under the ambit of the discussion that is to follow later. With regard to the draft progress report, now Chairperson, it's a sort of a statement of intent. this is what is anticipated, and there are certain dates given yet. Now, you see, Chairperson, there's a question here about title deeds. Now, title deeds can be obtained from the deeds registry, depending upon who the current owner is, whether it's public works or whether it's agriculture or whoever. So that shouldn't be a major issue to obtain. What is important, Chair, is that every step of the way, the committee should be kept informed about what is exactly happening. And that the department must be very careful that it does not come up with plans which haven't been properly canvassed with the stakeholders. Because otherwise, Chair, you will have hell to play on your hands. We need to take into account the interests of the people that are involved there. So that's it, Chair. There's nothing more we can discuss at the moment. Because if you look at this table that has been set here, Chair, there's a disciplinary process as per the report, established title deed of the farm, that shouldn't be a major issue. They say that they would have that done, the target date is October, so I take it 31st October. It should be done, Chair. Principal approval on the transformation plan of NGEGA, now that one, Chair, is extremely important. Whatever transformation plan you have, I have stated, see that you take the interests of the people there who have vested interests, whether they were previously PTO holders or whatever expectations were created for them and by them. So we need to take that into account. The deregistration of the PDY Limited, that too, Chairperson, is not a major issue. Provided you have your documentation in order, you can deregister and register companies and PTY Limited. Resolve farmer settlement model. Now, Chairperson, that cannot be a one-size-fits-all. You have to be very careful how you deal with that one. As I say, expectations were created, and that those expectations must be taken into account. Pre-transfer asset verification. Now, there, Chairperson, I think I warned that especially movable assets, they can move just like that, very fast. That's why they're movable. So we need to see there that there is a database of all the assets, and they must be verifiable, movable assets. Otherwise, we're looking for trouble. As we've seen with those tenders that were called for the sale of so-called redundant equipment. I don't think that they were so redundant that someone from Limpopo would come and buy them down here at the southernmost tip of Africa. So, Chairperson, yes, your employees that are there, we need to have periodic reports, Chair, about what exactly is happening with regard to the employees. How many of them are of a retirement age? Have you consulted with each one of them? Do you have an idea of which one wants to retire and who has whatever problems? Remember, we're dealing with human beings, the poorest of the poor. So we need to have that time to time, Chair. There must be a report telling us, so if this is the timetable and if this timetable is acceptable, Chair, I say that let us accept the report for what it is and see that the timelines that are set here are adhered to and that we regularly get updates.
Well, I don't propose you to, you can switch off, Mr.
Sorry.
Mr. Say? But what I would propose you to, members, is that we accept this report, number one. You are spot on, Sir Abram. If we did have time, we would have to have that periodic report to understand that we might have to make that call ourselves. Whether, you know, we are now in October, perhaps get a feedback in February of next year, just before March, something to that effect. But critically for me, it is for us to go back to those communities, to report back to those communities on this plan. That's what is critical for me. Because we did promise them that we'll come back to them with a way forward. It is the time that we must make the call of having go back to those communities. And I would also want to see that's what happens when there is very little that you can pick up on a report of this nature. We'll have to create other issues. Let's not get into that temptation. Just accept that it's very clinically and clearly scientifically worked out report. Give us a direction. Give us a way forward. All what we need to do is to take this report back to the communities with the department. And then take it from there. Because that's what we promised them to do. As they call from time to time, it became very clear that we did not have anything to say to them. Now that we have something for them, let us make time and go back to them. That would be one part. The second part for me would be that, and again, in view of this report, we do entertain the annual report with certain recommendations as we do in the BRRR going forward. Well, that's what is expected of us, especially if you look at any budget for next year. It has to take into cognizance our recommendations out of the BRRR in light of what we are saying on this report and also out of the annual report itself. That is what I would say concretely going forward. Any further views? Mrs. Tain, Ms. Abra?
Chairperson, I support that. I think my questions were directly linked to this report. The first one under background says that discussions to close the Nekha public entity have been in process as far back as 2001, whereby the then National Department of Agriculture had the financing shortfalls of 1.5 million to 2 million annually. So I want to know how much money has been put into Nekha since inception. If the minister in the last 5 years ever visited Nekha, and what will these officials that's now going to be moved from the department from Nekha to the DAF be doing? Will they still focus on Nekha, or will they be incorporated in the department, or will they still deal only with Nekha? I need an answer on that. For the rest, I'm happy to check.
Ms. Abra?
Thank you, Chair. In order to move forward, Chair, I would suggest that we at least visit these people by the end of November. We should not leave it for early New Year. There are too many imponderables. So I would suggest, Chair, that we try and find a date as close to the end of November as possible. If it spills over into the first week of December, fine, no problem, sir.
Thank you, sir. I would repeat myself on this earlier point, Mrs. Day. The points you are raising, as I said, they border very thinly on the annual report. The issue, you see, why we call for such a plan? It was precisely because we wanted to get a sense of how we want to move forward. That we do have as we speak now. It then suggests that at least there is a way forward. What I would recommend we do, all those questions, they be parked for purposes of us moving forward. They be part for that annual report, which is going to deal exactly with all those issues. That's what annual reports do. They talk to what shall have happened in the past. And those are the kinds of questions you are raising. They are very relevant. There is no question. as I say, there is a very thin line. Because this one here, it literally talks about a background. Equally important. But I thought for purposes of this exercise here now, we should be able, and I said earlier on, precisely because the issues are straightforward, let's discuss off with Neha before we get to the annual report. And issues being straightforward, you do not take much of your time on those kinds of issues. That's what I had in mind. Equally important, those issues you are raising.
Chair, I hear what you're saying. I can't understand why can't we just deal with it now when we've handled that NECA section of it out of the annual report? Because now, why must I wait now for another half an hour?
Okay.
Let's do it and then it's done. Answer the three questions. There's no other questions as far as I can see here, and then it's done.
Quick response.
Meha is governed by the Agriculture Produce Marketing Agency Act 12 of 1992. The Conservation of Agricultural Resources Amendment Act 43 of 1983. The Performing Animal Protection Bill 24 of 1983.
Excuse me, sorry, Minister. Can we ask the minister to either move or if her mic is not working? It's difficult to hear.
This is the mic that's working.
We can't hear you.
It's a tricky, sorry.
Chair, on the point of order, can you assist me?
I do not do maintenance in Parliament. I'm not responsible for maintenance. That's what you're right in front of me. Doesn't matter. Right in front of me. The speech. If you want to come and have a look at the switch right in front of me, which is switched on, it takes, exactly. I'm not the maintenance expert in Parliament. If you want to give me the work of maintenance, I'll gladly form it. The Animal Improvement Bill, 62 of 1988, and the Animal Diseases Bill, 35 of 1984. So, maybe if as a legislator you read those bills, you will understand that when we had to prepare a plan for NECA, we had a number of seriously outdated bills, which we had prepared for transformation, and which is ready, hopefully will be tabled to the next more competent committee.
Chairperson, please. Please, Chairperson. Point of order, Chairperson. Point of order.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Minister by implication saying that this committee is incompetent? I take the strongest exception, Chair. I take the strongest exception. She doesn't have to become here personal with us. A more competent committee next year. But I raise the point of order, Chair. Oh, sorry.
So the number of workers who work on farms,
competent.
The number of workers who work on farms are 8,000, besides the Mecha farmers. Of the 8,000 workers who work on farms, over the 5 years, you have visited less than 80. So hopefully before the end of the 5 years, you would have visited the 8,000 workers that we employ on farms. There are 8 community forest farms. You haven't visited one. There are 4 leased community farms. And
Minister, can I ask for a favor?
If,
okay, can you just hold on, Minister? I would insist that, and I rule, we have accepted this report. We have agreed that we will have to go back to those committees. We shall take an annual report on NECA, and any such issues are raised in that annual report.
So
as of now, we stop the discussion on Naha farms.
Thank you very much. So if you want to know how many of these farms I visited,
can we not be rude, Mr. Van Dalen?
So thank you,
Minister.
I'm happy.
Thank you. Can we then say that we are done with Naha farms for now, until we get the annual report wherein we conclude the whole cycle on Naha farms? Apart from going back to the stakeholders, apart from receiving periodic feedbacks on those timelines, apart from all of those, for now. No. We're not going to engage in answers on this one, because we are literally going to open another discussion. If we are to go by the trend in which the minister is taking, we shall be here for another hour on this specific one. That's why I was actually ruling that for now on Naha farms, we conclude our discussion for now. That's the ruling I'm giving. Thank you.
Chair, that's fine. My point is, we've all been sitting here for hours. All I'm asking is three simple questions. As part of this report. It's not outside of the report, it's part of this report. If I have to wait for later, and I might just not get the opportunity to ask the questions then, will the minister still answer it even if I'm not there at that stage?
Simple question. Can the questions be answered later on? The direct question.
The answers are 36 people. You want to know? There are 36 people. And they'll be taken.
Can we get a response as to yes or no?
There's 36 people.
Can we get a response as to yes or no?
I'm answering. There's 36 people in Lecha, and they will be treated yes as part of the 8,000 employees that we are going to place.
Can other questions being asked be answered later on?
Agreed, but it's hardly in the
Thank you. The simple response to that question is yes. Can we move further to deal with other issues of the day? DG, the minister, shall we allow you to take us through the annual report? Minister, report.
Thank you very much, Mr. Manya.
Chairperson, the members, I will go through the slides that we have provided to the members. And I just want to get guidance. The most slides are tables, and I want to just find out if the chair would want me to deal with literally every slide. Otherwise, I would deal with the first slide, the first six pages, and then proceed to the first six slides and proceed to the last slide. And I have just a few other comments we would want to make in terms of the measures we are putting in place following the observations that were made by the Auditor General. I just want guidance. I could go through all the slides or pick up the main point and proceed there to the conclusions, Chairperson.
And I feel situation would be for you to be more on the salient point.
Okay.
We have read the both the document and also the slide presentation. Okay, members, and again, we are free to respond literally to any aspect of the document, both the hard copy, that is now the bound copy, and also the slides. And then, of course, also we are free, as we typically do, whenever we receive any annual report, we refer to the annual performance plan. So this is part of the entire, you know, cycle that we deal with. Yes, Simon.
Thank you, Chairperson. This presentation covers basically an overview on the achievements, and we also provide in this report, this presentation, performance by program, which I've indicated I will not go through with your permission. I'll look at the challenges, make comments on the financial statements and conclusion. And Chair, as I said, just a few slides we distributed that just give the committee a sense of the progress we are making in addressing the shortcomings the Auditor General has picked up in our annual report. The report that the department presents for the financial year 2012-2013 focuses on the achievements that have been made. The department contributes to 3 outcomes in the original 12. Outcome number 4, outcome number 7, that deals with vibrant, equitable, sustainable rural communities that contributes to the food security for all people and the protection and the enhancement of the environmental and natural assets as per outcome 10. Also, there's a report also considers some of the key policies, and we have done to the extent possible, considered all the alignment issues that are required. In terms of the achievements, and I'm on slide number 5, we have an unqualified audit for several years now, almost 5. Also that during that this financial year that has just passed, we are also noting, we would want the committee to know the progress we're making in looking for alternative markets since becoming part of the BRICS. And these alternative markets would particularly include the BRICS countries moving away from the traditional EU markets that are becoming very difficult. Also, we are reporting on the enhancement of the cooperation within the BRICS formation, and we do that having opened offices in India, in Russia, in addition to what we had all along with China. We will in this current financial year also open an office in Brazil. We're also reporting on the trade agreements that have been concluded with other emerging economies and trade into Africa that is increasing, particularly in the SADC region. We had at the time started developing the food and nutrition security policy that has only been now approved in this current financial year, but is the work that has come from the previous financial year. Also, one important achievement is as part of the addressing the hunger and the poverty, we have implemented together with the Department of Rural Development an integrated food production program that was launched in 7 provinces, enhancing 39,000 hectares of agricultural land, particularly in the communal areas and former homeland areas have been cultivated for production of primarily the grains and the potato. That there were jobs that were created in the quarter 1 of 2013, which is quarter 4 of the financial year. Jobs were created in the sector. And lastly, that the Female Entrepreneur Award the department addresses equity issues, particularly recognizing the empowering of women as contributors to the food security. 92,742 hectares of land have been rehabilitated through the land care program and working for water program. The small-scale fishery policy has been developed and approved to assure that the small-scale fisheries or fishermen are participating. And that plan is being implemented now once the bill is passed. The mandate of the fisheries management is now including very clearly the freshwater and inland fisheries, and we are implementing the aquaculture activities. And the food security strategies also covering the fisheries sector. And the experimental abalone fisheries project that has been established in the Eastern Cape with the 1,000 beneficiaries and creating 1,000 jobs has been implemented. The person I will then the next slides from slide number 7 take you through each program or program 1, and with your permission I'm going to leave that and cross over to the slide towards the end, which is to slide number 85, that's after the programs have ended, and just talking to some of the challenges that we are observing in the sector, say. The sector remains challenged in a number of areas. There remains persistent high levels of unemployment, inequality and poverty. Despite the progress that we're making, these remain high. Investment in the sector remains inadequate. Investment in R&D also, particularly to ensure that the appropriate and newer technologies are introduced, that remains inadequate. And of course, as we work on the CB11, we recognize the fact that there remains limited beneficiation at the primary reproduction level, and that's the area that we still need to address. Of course, we need to continue to increase the participation, and particularly the smallholder farmers. The uncompetitive behavior that has been picked up affects also the agro industries. And of course, the backlog and the shortages that remains in the agro logistics, and this is why the need for the CP11. And we need also to make sure the value addition is not at this moment. We are exporting a lot of raw material rather than value-added product. The next slide, which is slide number 86, basically just it's a summary from the financial statements. We have an unqualified audit report. There are a number of issues, and I'm sure the Director General will talk to those slides, that the Auditor General reported on around the areas, weaknesses in the predetermined objectives. There were also other matters that the Auditor General raised around the concerns on the procurement compliance with the laws around procurement, particularly the failure by some officials to disclose their interests. The inefficiencies in the audit committee and the internal audit. In terms of the actual spending, I'm sure this has been raised adequately. I'm on slide number 87, that the department has unspent by an amount of 55 million, which is broken down in slide number 88 to show where these what are the various elements of that underspending. And the same is broken down in slide number 89 per program, what is that understanding that makes the 55 million per program. On slide number 90, it is done by economic classification. Chairperson, what we continue to need to do is to strengthen interdepartmental cooperation and collaboration for us to be able to improve the infrastructure and other support policies. There is a lot of collaboration that's required between departments. Again, we need to continue to improve because we are having a concurrent function in agriculture. We need to continue the cooperation with the provinces, but also with the local government, because admittedly, you do not have a national village. All the villages are at the local level, and we therefore need that collaboration, which as we're developing a business plan for the CP11, we are trying to strengthen that area. Of course, the strengthening with the stakeholders, particularly in the industry, which the committee has repeatedly emphasized, is an area that we are working on. We are meeting with a forum of the CEOs of the industry that we're meeting on a quarterly basis. We need to continue the collaboration around strategies for expanding the markets, particularly in the international markets. The European markets are becoming increasingly difficult, and we need to further and further open the markets to the east and taking advantage of our relationships within the BRICS family. And of course, we need to continue to address collaboration in using the key policy instruments to enhance the performance of the sector. Chairperson, I'm going to leave it at this and allow the Director General just to talk to the issues following the report of the Auditor General, what measures under her leadership we are already starting to deal with to make sure that we do not have repeat findings. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Minister. Chair, let me start with presenting to you and this House my apologies. There is really no disrespect intended this morning. The committee was offended by the fact that I was not here. That was not the intention, and I apologize unreservedly for that. It's certainly not the way that I would like to have started my relationship with this committee. Chair, to continue on what my colleague has presented, I guess we're also building on, we were all present yesterday when the AG presented their report. And what strikes me from what, if I bring the 2 days together as we are counting, is the fact that we are, the AG sets the audit criteria, which is the same for all departments. Based on that, we have been given a financially unqualified report with findings, and in the words that were used yesterday, it means that more attention needs to be given. And what the audit report raises are the areas where we require more attention. And while the comments that in the presentation are important from a sectoral perspective, it's very clear that there are things that we have to do around the findings on the usefulness of the information, the fact that we haven't reported adequately reasons for variances, that the reasons for variances were not supported by evidence, the reliability of the information. And what is correct is that the department prepared what is called the technical indicators or systems description. But despite that, it would appear that we did not follow that strongly enough. And all that we can undertake to do is to strengthen that process. We happen to be days away from our second quarter performance review or the mid-year review, which means we have time to test the integrity of our reporting systems. It is clear that we have to strengthen, if we go to the area of finding on that the we did not always report on the annual report, performance report, which was approved. We are saying, if you can go to the next slide, that we have to strengthen the capacity in the M&E unit and the process that is used. As we were sitting yesterday as a team and as reflecting on this and asking how are we going to come to the committee on that, we realized that we have to also hold each other accountable, because often when we sit in meetings and we report, we're probably not as strict with each other as we need to be. So there are things that can be improved. I'd like to recognize, I think that the previous year, the number of indicators in which they were reliable, which the AG found that the reporting was reliable, was less than it is this year. And so I think that there has been an improvement. I have heard the AG also said, BAF is almost there, it needs to make pay greater attention to those areas. And so I wanted to give the committee the assurance that those things that can be corrected through better leadership and accountability will be addressed during the coming year. Unfortunately, some of the other challenges that we have pertains to the number of targets and how the targets and indicators are phrased. And as some of the indicators and targets which were contained in the 2012-13 ADP are also contained in the current year, the 13-14 APP, some of those things will be repeated this year. So they cannot all go away, because no matter how well your reporting is, they're not going to become smart targets. But where we can correct, we will do so. Thank you, Chair.
Minister, you done? That is the synopsis. We have read the documents. It is for us to follow those readings with the slides. Any issues? If it were wise, members are still thinking. My only one question for now, whether the department, you shall have heard your integrated growth and development plan, and it has been coming for a long time, to an extent for me critical in that. It is transformation of agriculture in the main, and I focus and dedicate myself on the transformation of agriculture. The reason why I'm raising this issue, it has become apparent to me that there's a lot that needs to be done. And I would have imagined here that the department must lead us in that direction. If you are going to dissect that sector, if you are going to talk about feed, all the input cost areas, drivers, fertilizer, because we really become so much focused more on land and, you know, farming, and but where you have your major area of, I'm informed that out of your 100 rands you spend in the cost of the farmer, 70 rands is literally your input cost driver, and that continues to remain seriously untransformed. Just the other day we had a work program on mechanization again. Where do you source those structures from?
very untransformed area. To an extent, I think before our time comes to a lapse, we have to an extent even included in our program, as we revise our program, the Agri-BA Charter Council to come before us, and the Agri-BA Fund, I think sometime end of October. And again, the aim is to address those very issues. 20 years down the line, agriculture remains untransformed. Yes, you have a few that are able to make it out there, black faces. But again, not out of any guidance, not out of any direction. We did hear at some point that the GTI has put up a moratorium on some of these charters that no longer, you know, the economies of our country should be able to talk about, you know, charters. Rather, your BBEE codes should be the guiding factor. For me, that's one area I don't want to mix it with any other area. I remain focused at for us to be able to say how best to move forward. It's long overdue, I must admit. I saw your hand, Mr. Abram.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm asking the following questions. There's always been this talk about a one-stop financing and assistance model for farmers, especially new farmers. Can we be told where exactly is the plan to create that financing model? We've heard about it for the last couple of years. Secondly, Chair, I would like to know from the department that since May 2009, how many pieces of legislation did they bring before the committee? How many pieces? Third question there, what was the total package paid to each of the two suspended DGs since May 2009? There was one that was suspended, I think, around about June, July 2009. The other one, June 2012. And what were the reasons for their suspension? As Parliament, we are entitled to know. Chairperson, with regard to mechanization, we brought pictures, we showed it to the officials, 12th of March 2013, how expensive mechanization was collecting dust in a camp which was not properly secured. Why wasn't there a report on it up to now when they promised that within 2 weeks since then we would get a report? And since there was no report, we need to know what happened to it. In Chairperson, there's an issue here in the report, the annual report, of an amount of 50 million rand that is ostensibly owed by a person called R.P. Moslasane, who has two IDs. The other one is E.R. Moslasane, but the same person. In the one, he is born in 1954. In the other one, he is born in 1955. What is that amount for? That is owed to the department, and the department has taken some or other action. What is the import of that action? And the same applies to an amount of, I think, 5 million rand or something, owed by one T. Langa. I would love to know who that T. Langa is, and I would love to know who this Moslasane is that's owing the money, and for what reason and what purposes, and since when is that money owed. Chairperson, then we have here, for example, I've seen this little document that came out now about the corrective measures that the department had taken regarding the report of the Auditor General. But I need to ask very seriously, Chair, that on page 152 of the report, on governance, item 34, if you take in the second line, where it says in brackets, insufficient positions and ineffective leadership. Now that is what the Auditor General says. And when the Auditor General says that, Chair, then it is a serious issue. What has the department done to see that there is sufficient positions to do the work? And secondly, that the ineffective leadership that is there, and I don't blame it to a very large extent, what when you've had 7 PGs, including 2 permanent ones and 5 acting ones in the last 4.5 years, you know, the casualties in that department run high. And I wouldn't feel very secure when I'm in that particular department. Chairperson, the other question here is page 151 of the report of the Auditor General, that's in the annual report, under leadership. Management did not exercise sufficient oversight over reporting and internal controls. Although action plans were implemented, limited or no progress was made to address the root causes, with a result that repeat findings were raised. Now, Chairperson, I would love to know, since the Auditor General's office yesterday told us what the problems were in that department, we need to know, and that they said, Chair, that they have had interactions about the problems. We need to know, what did the department do to see that there is no recurrence of this type of problem and this type of finding? And then, Chair, on page, I think I've got that one. There's one more I have here, Chairperson, perhaps one or two more, yeah. There is on page 145 of the annual report, the Agricultural Credit Board, which was actually by way of legislation, I think Act number 45 of 2001, it was repealed and something else was created. I mean, the Act number 45 created something else. And that there are, there's debt running for years and years, and that a portion of the debt is still secured, according to the report, by means of mortgage bonds over immovable property and memorandums of agreement. And these were taken as collateral for the loans that were granted. I wish to know what is the current status thereof. Finally, Jefferson, I'm not a guy that loves to fight. It is a freer-living man, the man's fun here, and plot to be harder. But if anybody insults me, Chair, I become a lion. I fight back. I am not one, Chair, that will take an insult and leave it at that. Not me. Not me, Chair. Now, when I see in the press where the minister, after the meeting yesterday, goes along and makes a statement that she hopes that a better committee will next year do better, because we, this committee, have impaired her ability and her department's ability to be able to deliver. All I want to say, Chair, what balderdash. I reject it with the contempt that it deserves. And that's why I'm asking, Chair, how many pieces of legislation did you officials bring to the committee in the last 4.5 years? I promise you it is not the 30 or 33 that's being spoken of. The statement also says, Chair, that in 20 years, this committee has only passed two pieces of legislation. But I have some news, Chair. I have some news. This committee is only 4.5 years old. Yes, there was a committee on agriculture and land affairs. That committee existed until 2009. This is a new committee. And I want to, who the hell am I to advise a minister of state? But I want to advise, Chair. If you respect people, you will beget respect. If you give somebody a hand, you will receive an arm back again. So respect people. Don't pass a remark here that we, that there would be a better committee and what have you, what have you, what have you. So, Chairperson, I wish to have responses to this, and if there is space, I would come back a second round. Thank you.
I think it was Mr. Farran, Mr. Stain, and in Kotoko.
Thank you, Chairperson. You know, Chairperson, we in the committee don't want to micromanage, so we rely on the Auditor General's report to give us information on a whole lot of issues that is of interest to us. So then we rely heavily on the Auditor General to tell us that what we see in front of us is a true reflection of what transpired in the past year. Now, when the Auditor General then puts in front of us that the reliability of information and the usefulness of that information on objectives, report objectives, not consistent with planned objectives, 100% of the reported objectives not consistent with planned objectives, then 33% reported indicators not consistent with planned indicators, reported targets not consistent with planned targets, 57%. And so it goes on and on. And then when I asked Auditor General yesterday that if you can't find this information or the information used, they were unable to obtain information and so they couldn't make a decision on that. Then when I asked her, well, could that mean that what was stated never happened and that's why they don't get the evidence of it? She stated that usually that is the case. So when we have information in front of us and they can't find the evidence that it happened, it could mean that it's a lot of lies. Or it didn't happen. And that is what is worrying me. So can we trust the figures in front of us? Now they can get a clean report on something that is reported to them and they can find the evidence of it, or clean, or unqualified, but they can't give an opinion if that information is not there. So what usually happens is that departments, if they know that something can happen, they just say, well, we can't find it, and then, you know, nobody can give an opinion on it. And that is what idea I got from the Auditor General, why they can't find the information, is because that is usually the case. And then, on the other hand, we have Internal Audit Committee. And this Internal Audit Committee usually goes around and audits the things and then reports to the Auditor General. And then it also said in the Auditor General's report that this Internal Audit Committee did not have a 3-year rolling strategic plan in place. It did not have an annual internal audit plan for the first year of the rolling 3-year strategic internal audit plan. It did not report directly to the accounting officer. It did not evaluate the effectiveness and efficiency of controls. It did not evaluate the reliability and the integrity of financial and operational information, and it did not evaluate compliance with laws and regulations. Now, it's quite worrying when you read this, although some people might play it down and say, you know, don't worry about it, you worry your mind about silly little things, because you would worry about 35 million that's stolen or gets taken away, and then you worry about things like that. You shouldn't mind these silly little things. But I think the Auditor General report is nothing silly. And if they raise the alarm, anything, I will pursue it. And this committee will pursue it. And we will not be told by anybody how to pursue or do our work. So, and so there is some advice in that. Also, when the Auditor General makes some remarks in the Auditor General's report, and he says about leadership, management did not exercise sufficient oversight over reporting and internal controls. Although action plans were implemented, limited or no progress was made to address the root causes, with the result that repeat findings were raised. Management did not ensure that key functions like the internal audit, regional offices and various senior managers' positions within the department are properly resourced as skills. Now, that might be advice to the people that are accountable or are leading this department. But those people are wanting a pat on their back. Well, it won't be forthcoming from me or this committee, I'm sure of that. because this report really raises a lot of serious concerns. I am not convinced that this department should get a pat on the back at all. I think that, you know, if we are told that we are ineffective and we didn't do our work, you know, legislation needs to come to this portfolio committee before we can deal with it. If it doesn't end up here, like I said yesterday, then we can't deal with it. So, I don't know if there's a block between the department and the chairperson, or somebody's blocking the information or the legislation to come from us. Should we beg for it, and that would be our job, go begging for us to do legislation? You know, I don't understand how somebody could say that we have failed as a committee because we did not process any information or any legislation, and that's our work we get paid for. I'm sure the minister gets paid double for us for bringing that legislation here. So that actually means that you were not doing your work. And so it's actually a complaint to the minister herself. And so, you know, I've got lots of questions to ask. I don't want to prolong the day because we've already waited half a day for everybody. Three quarters of a day. Yeah, no, the minister is wasting our time all the time. But that is besides the point now. We are dealing with a big problem in this department. And the concerns that the Auditor General have raised, it seems like, you know, the minister is taking the route of attack is the best way of defense. When somebody is going to tell you you're not doing your work, attack them and tell them they're not doing their work. You know, so I think she took the wrong people on here, and that will prove us later right. So, I will end up with that to say, how are we going to fix these problems that the Auditor General actually raised? And, you know, if we sit here next year, maybe we are here, maybe the minister is not coming back, maybe we are not coming back. I don't know. And then we will maybe be able to find out what had gone wrong in this time, but we won't find it out. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Noted,
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I would go to the columns that the presenter said so nicely, out of time that I understand. Of course, many people's time were wasted today. I agree with that. For once, I agree with the Minister. I think we've wasted a lot of taxpayers' money today. Jane, I would propose that no one gets paid today, not the staff, not the MPs, not the minister, no one. We cannot tax taxpayers for this waste today. And I asked also earlier that I think the DG and the minister must be responsible for any extra costs occurred so that we don't burden the taxpayer with extra costs for this. I am prepared to not get a salary for today, but then I propose that the rest will also follow suit, Chair. Chairperson, I would like to go program by program, and I would start with the first one, administration. I'm not going to repeat any questions that was asked by the two previous speakers. Can I ask the Chairperson not to interrupt Chairperson, the Minister, the DG, when I want to try and stick to the DG? Mm-hmm. Chair, under administration, this department had 31 targets that were supposed to be achieved. Only 12 were achieved. Administration falls directly under the minister. It is her responsibility to ensure that administration functions and the staff do their work, and we have heard the whole story about what was said by the Auditor General in the report. I don't have to repeat that. What I want to ask under that, Chairperson, is that on slide 17, it says here that the strengthening policy planning, monitoring, evaluation, reporting, and sector information. What was supposed to happen here is that the reviewing of the monitoring and evaluation reporting guidelines for DAB were approved in 2012. This will then inform the development of provincial chapters. Under the challenges, the department says they could not do this because they were not having fully functional monitoring and reporting or evaluation units in the provincial department. So we've just heard, Chair, from the Minister yesterday and today that we don't ask
questions, we don't visit, we don't look at what the department's supposed to be doing, we don't even know what cost is, we don't even know who the person is. So if that department himself failed to have a functioning monitoring and evaluation, maybe this is the reason why we have been asking questions time in and time out in this portfolio about cost, Mafisa, all those 2 billion rand worth for this year in the department, what it was spent on. Because we asked specifically so that when we know in our own time, weekends and holidays, when we do our constitutional job in making sure the department spends the funding correctly by visiting these projects, we cannot visit them because we don't know where they are. And it's not for lack of trying, Chair. I've asked questions, the portfolio asked questions, we were promised, we never received it. So maybe we will receive them now immediately so that we can go and visit them in the next few months that we have to do our work, Chair. I also want to take you to slide 21. That says legislation, the indicator is legislation aligned to the Constitution. It says here, indicate the project to review legislation and submit proposals for ministerial approval. Under action, it says, project plan has been developed. 9 bills were in the process of being finalized, directorate concerned, and or with the state law advisor and or with the way to parliament. So I want to concur with my colleagues there and ask how many of those bills came to parliament in this last year and how many were dealt with. Chairperson, then I move on to the second program that deals with agricultural production, health and food safety. Under this program, the department had 20 targets for this financial year, only 12, which is 16%, were fully achieved. Other targets were partially achieved, vaguely reported on not achieved. Chair, this program is deals with manage the risk associated with animal diseases, plant pests, genetically modified organisms, and all other kinds of things. Chairperson, the GDG in his presentation mentioned that we are currently moving our exports to the big countries, and the department is doing a great job in getting new trade markets for us, and I acknowledge that, and I'm happy with that. I just want to find out from the department, you mentioned here the EU is becoming increasingly more difficult. What is the main reasons for the difficulty? I understand things like phytosanitary and all kinds of things. Maybe I want to know if one of the reasons might be that in the missing OIE reports, one of the sentences in that report says, the competent veterinary authority in South Africa is defunct. Is that not one of the reasons why we cannot export to the EU any longer, and why our current markets are struggling and that we have closed most of our markets to the EU? Chair, to continue on this program, it says here, regulation frameworks must be approved by Parliament. The Veterinary and Paraveterinary Professions Amendment Bill was signed by the State President, Quarter 3, that was December 2012, and a whole shield there. The challenge was the publishing of regulations has been delayed because of late approval of South Africa Veterinary Council. So we haven't received that. Chair, still further on Program 2, the number of primary health animal awareness campaigns were supposed to be 4. 4 of these campaigns did take place, so there was no challenges there. I want to know from the department when I see now on the program, Chairperson, for later in the year. I really want to thank you. We have been asking the department on all the diseases in the country that are currently hampering exports and the trade and everything that's going on. We don't want 4, we want the full report of all animal diseases currently in South Africa, what's the status, what has been done about it, and what is currently the progress with that. Chairperson, then further on Program 2, It says here, promote efficient production, handling and processing of food, fiber and timber. Surveillance reports, the targets were two. Under the challenges it says here, foot and mouth disease, the surveillance dossier and the avian influenza surveillance report are finalized and have been discussed in the relevant structures for approval. I would like to know from the department which are these relevant structures and what is the outcome out of those discussions and what is the rectifying measures that were put in place. Citizens, we will move on to the next one. Promote efficient production, handling, processing and food, fiber and timber. It says here target one commodity strategy needs to be implemented. The actual was the vegetable strategy that will lead to 992 vegetable farmers. What is happening with the other commodities? Is there any discussions and programs in place? We cannot just focus for a whole year on one commodity. What was the increase in the vegetable production in this the commodity group? Did you find new markets for them? And what is currently happening there? Then, Jefferson, if we can move on to number of reports on early detections and reaction time to outbreak of plant diseases and pests. The target was also two. The target was the chief chair. Two reports were done on the Spectoria invaders, and it seems to me like only that one disease was looked at. I would know what to know from the department. Did you also do one on the black spot? And if you did, why is it not report on here? Then, Chipperson, the next one, number of regulatory frameworks instruments. One, it says liquor product bill. It says here the publication of this happened in August 2012. Comments were received. Submission for cabinet approval was prepared. Why has it not come to Parliament? It is one of the bills that we asked beginning of last year that needs to be fast-tracked so that we can deal with issues that's very important in that bill. Chairperson, then, Program 3, Food Security and Agrarian Reform. Chair, I see here some indicator under Zero Hunger Campaign Implementation. It says here, Zero Hunger Business Cases has been developed and was approved by the Integrated Food Security Production Intervention. And a long story, but then under the challenges, it says contextual interpretation and understanding of the Zero Hunger Campaign as a program rather than a policy directive emulating the state intention to attain food security. We have asked many questions about this. We now understand, apparently, that the Zero Hunger Campaign is now only a campaign, it's not a program. It's now been replaced by the Integrated Food Production Program. I would like to know, Chairperson, in those hectares that they speak about later in the program, how many hectares were planted, how much was harvested, and what was the cost of having these hectares planted, and what was the benefit that we received out of that. Chairperson, so basically saying that we get a crop on all these hectares, or and what was the basic reasons if we did not get a crop. Chairperson, if I can fast track to the next one. Program 4, develop trade and marketing. I just asked the questions about the EU chain. Then on the program that says the amendment of the agricultural trade strategy is undergoing departmental approval processes. Fisheries and forest reports have been developed but are still undergoing consultation processes. The challenge here is that the consultation process took longer than anticipated owing to the diversity of the stakeholders. Where is the process currently? Are we going to see a final finalization of that soon. It's now a few months after this document has been published, or will the end of the year, March, and has been finalized soon. She then, it says here, oversee the negotiation and signing of inter-Africa international agreements under the challenges to budgetary constraints. Can I just find out from the department how many new agreements have been signed in Africa specifically? Then, Chair, we can move on to Program 5, Forestry and Natural Resources. Oh, I forgot to read to you how many has been achieved. On this one, Chairperson, the department has planned 18 targets for the program and only achieved 5. Budgetary constraints and reprioritization were cited. So, Chair, if we can get to this, I need to ask, there was supposed to be a forestry protocol and strategy implemented under the challenges. It says the submission was not signed as the minister raised certain issues that first needed to be attended to. Can we just also establish how far are we with the process? It's a few months after this now. Has this been finalized and signed? Chair, then under the forestry protocol submission view saw, I don't know why it's repeated twice, but we have another challenge here on the technical inputs on the amendments to the bill. It says the process for submitting the final bill for signing has been moved to November 2013. As per the legal services schedule. Will we still receive it this year, Chair? Then, Chairperson, there's a whole lot of challenges. As I've just said, only 5 of the planned targets under forestry and natural resources have been met, Chairperson. And while we're on there, I need to find out from the department. There was supposed to be a meeting yesterday on the national disaster issue. We have mentioned this morning that there is a massive, massive drought currently in the country. There's been a whole lot of fires also because of the drought. Everywhere that you drive around in the countryside, all the communal animals, communal land animals, basically on the sidewalks because we have not been looking after communal land properly over years. For many various reasons, Chairperson. I want to know what is the strategy from the department. I will send you, Chair, and also the DG pictures of animals in the Northern Cape that really is terrible to see. I think immediate assistance needs to be given to those areas. We are waiting for this drought to be declared a disaster so that assistance can be given. So if the department maybe is not on the annual report, Chair, but I think it's really important that we do get information on how far are we with the plans. Is it still dragging on the national drought in Northwest and the Northern Cape, Chairperson? Then, just to continue, there was 1,250 hectares of irrigation seams that needed to be revitalized, Chair. Only 114 were revitalized at the Makatini Irrigation Scheme. Can we get more information about the challenges in the Northwest Province? Why this did not happen, Chair, and what is the plans from the department to finalize that? Chairperson? That is all that I've asked now. I would get back later.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the fact that the National Department transfers more than 30% of its budget to provinces, my understanding would be that the department should have some ways of monitoring provinces. If the portfolio committee, when it calls for officials from provinces to show up in the National Portfolio Committee, they don't do so, Chairperson. This I'm raising simply because, Chairperson, on land care programs and projects, Chairperson, my main worry is that people who are on the ground working on the land care projects, it takes them 3 to 4 months to get paid whilst they're still continuing working on the project of land care. And then the question arises, why then the National Department should not be sort of monitoring the way the programs are conducting themselves? Then the question comes on the 20%. Whether is there, if I may inquire, is there any a method of following up on how these people are being paid so that people could not end up being sort of exposed to a sort of an exploitation, some form of, because the way people are being treated out there is not what we expect it to see happening, Chaperin. That's the main concern that I have with regards to assisting those people. Secondly, Chaperin, on agricultural production and health and food safety, Chaperin, the board members has just pointed out something with regards to the livestock on communal land. Chaperin, there is a great neglect on seeing to the veterinarians to visit these dipping tanks to monitor even the control of the diseases and ticks as well in those livestock. One would Chaperin sum up by saying maybe it's because those people don't contribute a cent towards government assistance, maybe. That's why they get so neglected. But I think it's very important, Chaperin, that one raises this point, because mostly the diseases that we see cropping up in our country might be in their majority coming from those areas where there is a total neglect on livestock. I think I should stop there, Chaperin. Thank you.
Thank you, Chen. I do agree with Mr. Ibrahim that we must all respect each other here on this committee, so that you will be respected too. Mr. President, my question will be based on financial statements and administration. On page 185 on the annual report, 17.4 million worth of other unspecified operating expenditure. I just want to check, what are those unspecified operating expenditure? Can I have clarity on that? And then the second one is on the same heading, whereby 25 million rand worth of performance reward. Can you tell us, DG, how many of your senior managers are reserved? I'll come back to share with other questions. Thank you.
Are we fine? If I was just to quickly table one or two in addition to my initial one. On forestry, there's a joint responsibility with the forestry department and also public enterprise on a matter related to a transaction that took place, I think, in 2005, where in among other agreements there would have been a commitment to afford communities with 10% in terms of ownership of those out of those transactions. Until as we speak now, we hear other communities or the industries making noise about such and its implementation. In the midst of such wealth, I must say, those communities continue to live in conditions of squalor and poverty. And yet they have the wealth in front of themselves, but they cannot get access to it. And that continues unabated. It is a matter that has been raised, and it continues to be raised without end in sight. If we can get a feedback from the department on that one. The second area related to fisheries. You see the department having made a commitment over a set period of time, 10 or 15, you know, new aquaculture projects, shellfish projects. But I want us to be realistic. In South Africa, do we have conditions wherein aquaculture can mushroom, can thrive? To an extent that a few of those projects have not been doing well. Yes, we have a few that are doing well. Case in point is one project, you know, in East London and also another one in PE. There are two major issues there. South Africa being a water scarce country, you are supposed to be relying upon, you know, those fresh water conditions for such aquaculture to thrive. Secondly, you must address the issue of energy supply and energy becoming a lot more expensive. We went to one project in Free State. Under normal circumstances, the fish are supposed to be growing to a certain size. But because of supply of energy, you are not able to get that size. And I would imagine the standards being set as barriers is there on any trade. Those that receive those type of fish certainly will not be able to accept a certain size of fish. Starting by one example out of that experience in the last part, in the 11-12 year annual report, structure, just went through it here now. There was a projection of 10,000 hectares of plantations for the next 10 years. In the Auditor General's report, it is stated there that you see, you have a very difficulty, or you have a very difficult situation of really getting to monitor or do oversight in being able to say, here is this hectareage that have been planted. And practically, Mrs. Jupiter, it becomes practically difficult for you to say, as also Committee of Parliament, for us to be able to say, if we were to make any visitation, you know, how many of those 10,000 hectares? To an extent, I would even ask that question now, whether we have been able to succeed in those 10,000 plantations. That's of 11, 12 years. We are now on 12, 13. Whether or not we have been able to succeed, because there's a challenge, you know, it has been noted by the Auditor General's office. But at one point, I think some year 2010, 2011, the figure there was at 1 million. No, I'm lying. It was 100,000 per annum. I don't know, you have the facts. But as we speak now, over a 10-year period, you are told of, you know, 10,000 hectares. I'm not so much concerned about whether or not that is double, but most important for me is you being able as a member of parliament, if you want to go out there and do an oversight and be able to say, yeah, indeed, is this 10,000 hectares. And whether we can, you see, your word is, you know, is what the word to use in English? Your word, I can't remember, but it's final. It's that's what we're relying upon. For us to be able to say, yes, we are now able to prove. I think those should be the ones for me for now. Then we'll take the rest after this response. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think that
the sad part of our relationship, after 5 years, it seems as if we have been in two different worlds. And that after 5 years, we are further apart than when we started. And that is the sad reality of the department and the portfolio committee. The first sad reality is that instead of us focusing on our core function, we allowed ourselves to be really sidetracked by insignificant, irrelevant, and very innocuous pieces of questions, information. When we start out, we realize that the legal framework and policy framework within which we operated was completely divided and needed to be brought in line with the constitution of this country, later the New Growth Pact, and eventually the National Development Plan. Unfortunately, after the National Development Plan, we ended up howling about it instead of internalizing what it was the National Development Plan meant for the growth of the sector. We also had different views on what food security was all about, what agriculture was all about, and what our mandate was. I remember the Honorable Member Steyn said to me that subsistence farming and food and vegetable gardens was not my mandate. That was my core mandate. And even though we were food secure as a country, we have never had household food security. Now, having household food security is a mandate of the National Development Plan, the Millennium Development Goals that we report to, as well as the United Nations commitment to food security for all families, especially in sub-Saharan Africa, by the year 2020. The Honorable Member Steyn, I even have a radio recording where you challenge food and vegetable gardens as not being part of agriculture. That is how pathetic we have had in understanding our core mandate. Now, for us, if it took us 1 year to take one act through Parliament, then it was 1 year in which we could not run in 5 different acts. It was so difficult to only take one act through Parliament for one single year. That was the act on compulsory service for community safety. The second act took us even more than 1 year. It was the act on seeds and fertilizer. We withdrew it because it was very clear that while those acts were being discussed in the portfolio committee, there was no way in which we could be discussing multiple number of acts in this portfolio committee when it was already so difficult just to discuss one act in this portfolio committee and try to get one act passed. So thus far, after 5 years, we've only had one act passed. We've had all these other acts prepared. But in the light of being so difficult just to pass one act,
There was no way in which we could even consider bringing another act to such a hostile environment. An act had to be sent back. The act on feeds and fertilizers was sent back to the department, incomplete. And now, finally, we bring the second act, which is the Marine Living Resources Act, which we have to water down and dilute to such an extent so that we could just hopefully bring it through this committee. Now, if this committee so much so wanted all these other acts, why didn't they bring their private members' act through? It's quite surprising that the DA hasn't brought a single private member's act through. Very surprising. But let's not blame each other but say that we've had and we still have 20 pieces of legislation ready. If we can pass the one on the Marine Living Resources Act, we could bring another one. It would be beautiful if we could at least pass three acts before the end of our term. That would be quite beautiful. Clear record. Chairperson, you really get to the crux of transformation. Because the biggest battle in this committee has been about transformation. The transformation of agriculture and the transformation of the sector. The good thing is that our sector, the sector and the unions, have come on board and bought into the transformation agenda of the government. From the fishery sector, we have had the commitment from the fisheries sector as well as the support of the fisheries sector for the amendment to the Marine Living Resources Act. And it seems that if the sector, even the fishing sector, and this committee live in two separate worlds, and certainly the department and this committee live in two separate worlds, and we've never been able to share others' worlds for 5 years, unfortunately so. For the public enterprise, as well as Treasury and the Land Bank, we discussed the kind of transactions which happened, the long-term transactions which happened in forestry, where your Sappies and Mondies and Hans Marinski were able to receive 70-year lease agreements was forestry communities, paying those communities less than 1% rent and rental. And the inability of any transformation to get those communities out of poverty. They have been working with the big companies like Hans Marinski, Sappi and Mundi to improve the quality of life for those forestry communities. And there has been progress. There has been a better working relationship. I don't think that this committee has really engaged in forestry. One of the disappointments of this 5 years as well. The aquaculture projects have been supported by DBI, the industry, agricultural colleges, and economic development, and there is now an integrated aquaculture policy for the country. The policy has also never been presented to this committee, unfortunately. Because we come here and we are confronted with this kind of interrogation. It's actually not bringing anything much here. There is an aquaculture policy for the country. There is also an agro-processing policy and strategy for the country. Unfortunately, the committee has also not seen it. The land care and livestock commitments we've had towards communal land, as well as the one piece of legislation we were able to pass, which committed us to compulsory vet services, has now led to us rolling out mobile vets, mobile veterinary clinics to our communal land properties. The communal veterinary services, there's four big communal vet clinics. They'll be launched on the day we launch Feta Klala with the president. World Food Day is on the 16th. We're launching it on World Food Day, now when we have the president in the Northern Cape of Feta Klala. 27 units of mobile veterinary units will go out to the communal areas. When it comes to our access to markets, it also seems as if we live in two different countries. Last year, during the 2012-2013 financial year, we have been able to develop a very good relationship with the three United Nations-based organizations, which is the World Food Program, the World Food Program, and then your Food and Agriculture Organization, as well as DFID, which is the Development Fund for Agriculture, Infrastructure, and Finance. The World Food Program is now buying products from smallholder farmers. It is a project in which we have been able to sell more than 30,000 good and high-quality maize to the World Food Program for distribution to Lesotho. It's the first time in 100 years that smallholder farmers have been able to produce more than 30,000 high-quality, good-quality metric tons of maize for export value. The World Food Program does the auditing themselves. They audit the hectareage. They audit the planting, quality of the seeds, whether it has been GMOs or non-GMOs. The World Food Program is also the registering cooperative. The cooperatives are expected to provide 5 metric tons per unit to the World Food Program. It is a market which is now there for smallholder farmers for the rest of their lives as long as they can produce good quality maize, beans, and potatoes. They want their potatoes. The World Food Program has criteria in which 40% of what they procure must come from smallholder farmers. So this is a program which will benefit commercial farmers and smallholder farmers. For as long as we can produce food, there will be a market. So if more food can be produced from smallholder farmers, which is our 40%, then obviously the 60% which they procure from commercial farmers will become more. The World Food Program also wants to procure tinned fish and other commodities which we've discussed with them. I think if ever there has been a success story for our country, it has been the World Food Program's re-entry into South Africa as a market for commodities, not only for export to Africa, but export globally. Initially, South Africa was one of the largest countries that acted as a procurement hub for the World Food Program. But because we couldn't produce good quality food, other countries like Zambia and which are the two other countries that have overtaken us in their supply of food to the World Food Program in Africa. The World Food Program, again, they build capacity with your cooperatives. They want you to have clusters in which you have one large commercial farmer with at least 10 smaller subsistence farmers. And this is a program which has been lauded by your agriculture unions, including AgriSA and AFATA. And quite soon, the portfolio committee will realize that they are far behind the reality of what is happening in agriculture in this country. The Agri-BE funds will be supporting commercial farmers. In some instances, we are looking at Agri-BE deals where a commercial farmer can be funded to up to 100 million rand and even more by bringing in 100 or so more smallholder farmers in a cooperative and giving permanent jobs to 400 people, at least 400 people. Chairperson, what has happened to the integrated growth and development strategy of agriculture is that we have now taken it one step forward. The new DG has been central in developing it into an agriculture industrial policy action plan. Once that agriculture industrial policy action plan is passed through cabinet, 1.3 billion rand has been set aside through the industrial policy action plan for agriculture to support commercial farmers to have relationships with smallholder farmers in A, building their capacity, B, access to finance, and C, access to markets. Again, we are living in two different worlds. The DA will never understand this. I don't even expect them to understand it. So, the integrated food and development strategy has now been accepted as a national integrated food and nutrition policy for our country. The social service sector will have a social response to food security, and the agriculture as well as the other economic sectors will have a production response to food security. Hence, our production, we have not only said that we will produce 10,000 hectares, already we have produced 140,000 hectares of maize, beans, and potatoes. Hopefully this year we'll produce 400,000 hectares of potatoes, maize, and beans. The irrigation scheme, SIP 11, unfortunately we haven't gotten to that stage where we all understand SIP 11. It's a strategic infrastructure program of government, and through SIP 11 we will bring those irrigation schemes back into production and work with other departments like rural development, agro-logistics, agro-processing, as I said, with DEI. There is already an agro-processing policy for the country. I hope that at some stage or the other, the members will get a copy of the agro-processing as well as the aquaculture policies of the country. Now, again, we live in two different worlds. The month of October, I hope that as a South African, you will know that there's a BRICS meeting of agriculture ministers. The BRICS meeting of agricultural ministers will take place on 24th of October. Okay? Hopefully, you will be able to interact with the BRICS Agricultural Ministers' meetings. We will be inviting the commodity groups. We have already discussed with the citrus growers, and with the citrus growers experiencing their problems with citrus black spots. Our discussions and interactions for bringing commodity groups to talk to the BRIC ministers is to enable them to have market access, better market access to the BRIC countries whilst we are fighting the challenges of sanitary and phytosanitary requirements for the EU countries. So the kinds we are having to negotiate quite carefully with China, so that China does not use the same kind of requirements it uses with the US uses when it comes to our fresh fruit being quarantined when it is exported to the US. So we hope that China, for now, the US is quarantining our fruit and vegetables for 24 days. We're hoping that China will reduce their quarantine period for 22 days and the perishable products as well as the fresh fruit products, right, for growers will also be part of that meeting to ensure them to negotiate with our Chinese counterparts on the export of fresh fruit and products to China. I do not have time to go into the negotiations with Brazil, Russia, India. I'm sure that you have been following the debates around Brazil, where our negotiations with Brazil came to a very good understanding that they, instead of us fighting with Brazil in the WTO on anti-dumping clauses, we have been able to successfully avert that kind of conflict with Brazil, whereas now we have a fairly acceptable tariff regime for our markets with Brazil. I think later when we do have time and the committee is more interested in that kind of trade, we'll be able to give them those reports. The Zero Hunger was always a campaign. In Brazil, Zero Hunger was led by President Lula. And when President Zuma led the Zero Hunger campaign, he customized it to a South African campaign, which was Masibambasani. We now no longer need a campaign, and our food and nutrition security intervention in our country will be funded and managed and driven under the program of FEFATLALA. It will be launched in the Northern Cape by the end of the month. We do not expect a pat on a month on the back, but I think that it would be important and essential, DG, that we do bring you the kind of changes we have made in CAS and MAPISA, because we are now also using CAS money for the planting and for making sure that there's food and nutrition security in our provinces. The disaster management, the province of Northwest, has been able to use the provincial disaster management team to write to the national disaster management team, who then reports to the national minister of COCTA. The national minister of COCTA provides the necessary, what do you call it, to the president? What is it you send to the president? A presidential minute in which the president then declares a disaster area. So Northwest was able to follow the process. We are explaining to Northern Cape also how to follow that process, so that the provincial disaster team with the provincial premier declares a disaster. They then refer back to the national disaster team, who works with the national minister of COPTA, who then recommends to the president through a presidential minute and proclamation that a national disaster is declared, and it is only then the treasury allocates money to the province which has a disaster. We have been able to assist provinces where there's been fires. We've assisted commercial farmers as well as smallholder farmers. Likewise, with the floods we've had in the Northern Cape, we've been able to assist smallholder farmers and commercial farmers. In the continent, the most interesting part is that Zimbabwe has become South Africa's largest destination for the export of processed agricultural products in the world. So globally, we now export the most processed agricultural products to Zimbabwe. Globally, we also export the most unprocessed products to the Netherlands. Our exports have been taken up quite, there's really been amazement in change in trading arrangements of both processed and unprocessed agricultural goods in our country. When we have time one day, I think we should give you a map of how the exports and imports in our country have changed. We are a net exporter of unprocessed agricultural goods, and we are still a net importer of processed agricultural goods. So our agro-processing strategy has to move more intensively and in greater depth for us to be a net exporter of processed agricultural goods. That also is the category which will create more jobs in agriculture in our country. And what we call the stimulus package for agriculture, that 1.3 billion is a stimulus package to be a game changer for commercial agriculture. That stimulus package will be linked to commercial farmers retaining jobs, creating jobs, and also developing agro-processing plants. Commercial agriculture, especially Tau and ADSA, have been very happy to come on board with a 1.3 billion support package. You are looking at that one-stop shop facility. It is where, with the land bank, we were able to bring a finance package for smallholder farmers at the interest rate of prime minus 3. Last year at the Agri-SA conference, the Honourable Member Abam said it was ridiculous and impossible. We will never be able to give such a facility to commercial farmers.
You don't twist what I said.
So commercial, we would never be able to give it to commercial farmers. We are now having a 1.3 billion.
Yeah, but you have to do it in an orderly fashion.
But Chairperson, I must listen to all the time how bad we are, and then I must be orderly, Chair. Please, I'm a human being. If others don't care being insulted, I do. I have respect in society.
Mr. Abram.
I can't be treated this way, Chair.
Mr. Abram.
And with lies on top of that.
Mr. Abram.
Go and ask every delegate that was at Agri South Africa's conference last year. I said,
I'll be very happy if our people can get money at minus 5%.
Can I call you out of this meeting?
Don't come and lie here.
Can I call you out of this meeting, Mr. Abba?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, sir. I'm not a yes man, and I'm not a creeper. I will stand up for my rights and report me to whoever you wish. Whoever. You are prepared to take insults, do so. I won't.
Mr. Chair, I'm also not prepared to listen to the lie, so I'll also leave.
Minister, can you conclude? We also have dinner that is ready about 6 o'clock.
In conclusion, on the 3rd to the 1st of December, the global conference on agriculture, climate change, food and nutrition security will be convened in South Africa. The global conference on the 3rd to the 5th of December, it will be funded by the World Bank and the Netherlands Dutch government and ministers on agriculture from the G20 to all the BRICS countries will be convening here. And I was hoping that before we do rise as Parliament on the 7th of November, that we had a strong position as a country to take to the global conference on climate change. Because as the chairperson knows, South Africa has been leading on the debate of climate change and agriculture and how climate change was influencing food and nutrition security. So chairperson, all these details on what percentage of this and what of that and that, as it is in the questions on the technical detail that the members have asked. The DG has been taking very copious notes on all the very technical I've asked, where they asked where there's a discrepancy here and a discrepancy there, and where the annual report, where you have said the annual report is, why is this not here and why is this not there? Again, the DG has taken copious notes, and it will be very easy for the DG to be preparing such a response. I need to ask that the team assist the DG in preparing that kind of technical data where you have asked for small pieces, very, very in-depth detail, technical detail. And I think that in-depth technical detail must be brought in. I thank you, Chair.
Gigi? Why don't we at the stage have a 30-minute break and go and eat? The dinner has been ready since 6 o'clock. It is at the old assembly dining hall, and time now is almost 18:30. If you can get back here and promptly at 7 we start. We don't have to remind each other. Is that fine, members?
Honorable Chairperson, could I also just beg of you that when it comes to the very detailed technical questions that were asked, that we'll be given a chance to put that detailed technical responses together, and that we do not thumb the information, but that we give you the detailed, accurate, respectable technical information you have asked.
Okay. Can we quickly jump out and then come back at 7 o'clock? We start promptly. Okay.
Ik moet het gaan chillen, maar ik kan niet gaan mee. Dan moet ik mijn gesprek en dan is het niet dat ik ga naar die gesprek.
Oh ja, nee, Julian gaan voor ons gaan.
Shall we leave our staff? We shall arrange that this hall be locked, or this room be locked. We can leave our staff here. Thanks. Thank you.
Look, how are